Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, I've set before you life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, after the Los Angeles riots back in 1992, Steve Futterman, a CBS News correspondent, went into the community and was talking to people who had been a part of the rioting and the looting, and he interviewed a guy. A guy that was amongst a gang of guys that had broken into a record store. And he's fine, I ask him, what did you take? And his response was, gospel tapes, because I love Jesus. Sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Or should it? Why would someone who really loves Jesus do something that is obviously in contradiction with the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal? Then again, why do we find ourselves saying and doing the exact same thing? I'll give you some examples. Yeah, I don't go to church very often, but I love Jesus. I hate my neighbor, but I love Jesus. I surf internet porn, but I love Jesus. I constantly talk about my neighbor behind their back, but I love Jesus. I cheat people and beat people out of money every single day, but I love Jesus. I fudge just a little bit about on my income tax, but I still love Jesus. I would rather spend my treasures on my pleasures than give another dime to the church, but again, I still love Jesus. Now, when I frame it a little bit different way, it sounds like this almost sounds natural. It sounds a little bit too familiar. When we try to justify our behavior and our sinful actions with that conjunction, but, and then, I love Jesus. How can we as God's people do that? Especially this morning, as Moses talks about love. What does it mean to really love the Lord your God? Now, if you thumb through your English Standard Version of the Bible, you'll come up with 684 different times the word love is used. But how would you define love? Well, I asked the expert, Noel Webster. He defines love as this: to regard with a strong feeling of affection. So what Noah Webster is saying is that love is all about emotions. It's about how you feel in your heart. It's kind of that primordial urge tied to reproduction or the lust after. It's that desire. But others would say love is being accepting, allowing, in fact, encouraging all things no matter what the behavior, because we never want to tell anyone anything that would hurt their feelings. Others would say love means never having to say you're sorry. This lack of understanding and clarity about love has caused all kinds of confusion, even within the Church of Christ. So as we turn to His Word this morning, we begin to understand a little bit more about what love is when we read these words: if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God. By loving the Lord your God. And then he tacks this on: by walking in His ways and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules. Now, if you look at a biblical understanding of what love is, it's not an emotion. It's always an action. In Scripture, love is always something that's put into action, something that is done. Now, if you would ask children what love is, They give you a little bit different understanding because children don't think in the abstract like we do. Children think more in the concrete. It's what I can see, it's what I can touch, and it's what I hear. And so a child would be asked a question about what love is. And one child said this: love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Fair enough. Another child says, love is when my mommy sees daddy sweaty and smelly and still says he's more handsome than Robert Redford. Or here's another one. Love is when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. I want you to notice that in all three of those examples, it was all about action. It was an action that was toward another person to really show them how much they are loved. When I was growing up, my dad always had this saying, especially when I was up to no good. He had said, son, and he always say that, son, practice what you preach. And I always thought to myself, first of all, Dad, I'm not a preacher. And quite honestly, I don't know the problem, but I got the translation, stop what you're doing or I'm going to spank your bottom. And so I usually practiced what I preached from that point forward. But as I grew older, I began to understand what my father was saying. My dad was saying, make sure your actions are in agreement with what your mouth is saying. In other words, make sure you're behaving in the way that you purport yourself to be. If you're a Christian, act like one. Be who you are in Christ. Or if you are accused of being a Christian, I've often wondered if there'd be enough evidence to convict us. If they were ever asked, who are Christians in your community? Would they seek us out? Do our actions agree with our words? And so I go back to the Old Testament lesson for today. It's words spoken by Moses, really in the form of a sermon, right before he departed this life and right before the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And he was telling them, this is who you are called to be. These were already people that were a part of God's covenant. They were covenant people. They were a part of the faith. They were followers of God. He told them that following these words will not make you a child of God. Following this command will not make God love you more, because you already are and He already does. However, these words that I command you today, as you follow them, you are being who you are as covenant people. And for you and I today, it applies to us when we live out our faith by following God's commands, His statutes, and His rules. We are being the baptized people of God. We are identifying with who we are by what we do. In other words, this is what Christians are supposed to look like. They obey God's commands. They love the Lord their God, and they walk in His ways, keeping His commandments, His statutes, and His rules. And this is where I pause for a moment and let you take all that in. See, the reality is, we begin to look into God's law, we begin to realize that God sets a fairly high standard for you and me. He wants us to follow, like really, all the commandments, all of His statutes, and all of His rules, not only for our benefit of acting out our faith in front of other people, but for the impact that has on their lives as they identify you as a child of God. So therefore, God says, obey my commandments. And first and foremost, the greatest commandment of all is you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. For this is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. I believe the greatest sin within the churches today is to allowing our lips to say one thing and our actions to depict something completely different. In regard to the first commandment, do you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? I want you to look into the God's mirror of the law and think back over the last week. Can you identify behavior in your life which is not Christ-like? Things you've said, things you thought, or things you've done that don't really give the evidence that you are a part of the body that we confess that we're a part of. Do we live our lives in a loving relationship with God? Do we take our God seriously, who is our creator and the provider of all? Are there times in your life when you worry and fret about things as if God is incapable of providing all of your needs for this body and life? Do you love the things God has given you more than you love Him? See, that's always a challenge, because God is so gracious. He provides so much, but too often we as His people take our eyes off Him, the focus upon all the stuff we have in our lives, worshiping it more than we worship Him. My dear friends, that's just the first commandment. There's 9 more. And believe me, were I to go through all 9 commandments that are left, the picture would be the same, that we fall short of God's glory. But here's the question that's really begging to be answered. How is it possible for sinful, self-righteous, and self-seeking people to actually love the Lord your God? How is it possible? It just seems like such a contradiction. But believe me, there is hope. The Bible tells us that we love because He first loved us. What a great thing that is, that God loves the unlovable. He loves you and me when we're so self-seeking and so self-righteous and so focused upon all the gifts that God gives. He doesn't give up on us. He still loves you and me. Some people will be asked, well, how do you know when someone loves you? They'll say things like, well, they told me so. Or they'll say something like, I just feel it in my heart. But remember, the biblical understanding of love is always action. Let me tell you how much God loves you. God demonstrates His love for you when you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. It wasn't a matter of you picking yourself up by your bootstraps and making yourself clean so that God may love you. He loved you in spite of your sin. Here's another one. You know this one. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His one and only Son. Why? To fulfill the law that you're unable to fulfill, and to suffer and die for all the times you break God's commandments. It is amazing the depth of God's love for you and for me. It is profound. God never gives up on you. It reminds me of the couple that had been married for 39 years. And like all couples, they'd had their spats throughout their marriage, but you know, nothing too bad. But they kind of got to that point in their marriage where they really ran into a rough spot. And one night, they got into this, not physical, but this knockdown, verbal, drag-out fight. And it got to the point where the wife was so upset, she just turned away from him and huffed and puffed all the way up to the bedroom. And she grabbed her suitcase and she threw it on the bed and started throwing her clothes in it. And the husband walks in and says, what are you doing? And she looked at him and says, I'm leaving. Without saying a word, he went in the closet and grabbed his suitcase and threw it on the bed and started throwing all his clothes in. And she says, and what do you think you're doing? He says, if you're leaving, I'm going with you. True love never gives up on us. True love never gives up. See, the truth is that in spite of all the times when we say those words, but I love Jesus, preceded by our pet sin, our Heavenly Father still loves us. He hasn't given up on us. When it comes to faith, it is not your choice to make a decision. Jesus has made it clear through His words, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. And then we get to the Old Testament lesson. If you want to make a decision, here's the decision you need to make. Moses simply asks the question, or he makes the statement, to choose life. In the midst of your sin, Choose life. In fact, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I shall set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and your length of days. You have a choice. But the question is that each of us needed to follow and divine is, do I really love him? Do I really love Jesus? I think too often we need motivation. Many times a pastor will stand in front of you and I'm going to beat you to death with the law as a way of motivating. And dear friends, it doesn't work. I want to take a whole different route. I want to conclude with this thought about love. The first one's from a 4-year-old girl by the name of Ginny. Ginny says there are two kinds of love. Our love and God's love. But God makes both of them, which is pretty profound. But I think Max, age 5, is even better. He said, God could have said the magic words to make the nails fall off the cross, but he didn't. That is love. Amen? Amen. Let's rise together. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.